TalkZone.com.
Usually, when you hear an attorney and an athlete working together, either the athlete is in trouble with the law or involved in a contentious contract negotiation. I'm attorney David Spada, here with former Chicago Bear Robin Earl, and that's not the case here. You're listening to Barely Legal. Let me brief you on what Barely Legal is about. For the next hour, Rob and I will talk sports, interview current and former professional athletes, and tackle the hot legal issues affecting athletes. And now, Barely Legal.
Hey, another great day here in Chicago. I just wish our Cubs, Sox, Bulls, and more importantly, our Chicago Blackhawks would get their butts in gear. Welcome back to another edition of the Barely Legal Show here on TalkZone.com. I'm Robin Earl, former fullback and tight end for your Chicago Bears. And alongside me is my co-host and good compadre, attorney David Spada, as I see his fingers are texting as quickly as he can to find one of our guests' phone numbers. But anyway, David, a lot going on this weekend. We now have the three-day NFL draft, as if it wasn't long enough, of course. And the Bears Expo on Saturday, which you and I will be at, giving out Barely Legal t-shirts. And I'll have some pictures to autograph and give out to all the great Bear fans out there. How many t-shirts do you think we're going to give away at least?
I don't know. We gave away close to 500 last year.
Man, we had them lined up out the door. No one could figure out, well, you know, anytime you give away anything free, you know, they're just, it's like a frenzy. They got to come over by the booth and see what the heck we're doing.
We got to have some rhyme or reason this year. I mean, you have to have a Bear shirt on or something, not just everybody comes up.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But anyway, you know, the Blackhawks have their backs up against the wall with the Predators, and the Bulls have the Cavaliers with phenom LeBron James, of course, in town. And David, I don't see that series going past four. LeBron James is just too damn strong.
The Bulls are one player away. If they have a Chris Bosh, they can win that East next year because they're playing them tough. They just need one more star player, whether Chris Bosh, Stoudemire, someone, or maybe we could steal LeBron from Cleveland. He's a free agent, too.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, I know it's early, but these identical 5-9 records for both the Cubs and the White Sox is totally unacceptable. And during all this mess, the Big Z, the big $1 million, $98 million man, has one win with an ERA of 7.45. Absolutely, David, pathetic.
It is.
What's the deal?
I don't know what's going on with Sam Brown. I was watching him last night. He was hitting 88 with his fastball. He used to hit 94, 95. I think he has arm problems or he's lost the velocity with age, and he's not the same pitcher. They're talking about putting him in the bullpen.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking he's just one lazy SOB myself. I don't. He just does not get in shape. He cramps up, blah, 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 blah. It's always some damn excuse, but that's the Cubs. What the heck? We've been, what, 102 years now?
102
of futility. Years, but it's year one. Remember that.
Well, okay. You know what? That's a bunch of bull. It's 102 years they haven't won.
God.
I mean, you sound like a Sox fan here.
Anyway, great lineup we have today. David on the Barely Legal Show. Joining us will be NFL Hall of Famer, five-time All-Pro, member of the 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins, offensive lineman Larry Little. Looking forward to speaking with him and getting a little of his perspective on this Roethlisberger episode. And of course, with the three-day draft. What has it got to be 3 days for?
What do they have now? They have six rounds. When you played, how many rounds were there?
12.
And they squeezed it in one day.
And before that was 17.
17 rounds they would do in one day. Now they're doing one round on Thursday, what, another round on Friday, and then finish it up on Saturday. I mean, or three rounds on Saturday. Come on, you can get this done in one day. You don't need 15 minutes to decide who you're picking the first round.
It sounds like ESPN just looking for new sponsors and just another money-making machine out there. It's unbelievable.
Roethlisberger's on the block right now. They're going to the teams in the top 10 saying, you give us one of your picks, one of the top 10 picks, and we'll give you Roethlisberger, and they're talking to Cleveland.
Well, Leftwich, they just signed yesterday.
Leftwich?
Yeah.
He's still playing?
He's still playing, believe it or not. Well, he was with the Steelers a couple years ago.
I know. Yeah, he was a Jacksonville quarterback.
Brian Leftwich from Marshall University.
Right. He was a good player in college. He was okay with Jacksonville.
That's
but
right.
He just didn't have the arm or the mobility here. He was just a big statue back there.
Anyway, we'll also have, along with us, sports broadcaster and a very good friend of mine, Tom Doerr. And to wrap things up, will be former Major League Baseball star with the Expos, Warren Cromartie. If you can find his number there, Mr. David Spada. No, David's already got the number for my sheet. Don't be stealing my notes.
No, I'm writing
here.
Down websites here for you, okay. For Larry Little.
Okay. All right. Anyway, we've got Tom Dore online here. Hey, Tommy, hold tight with us 1 second. We gotta thank our wonderful sponsors. And of course, that would be the beautiful links out there at Bolingbrook Country Club or Golf Club. And I know Tom loves to play golf. I've been out there with him several times. The law offices of David Spada, the power of WOW Mobile. WOW Mobile, the only cell phone service in the world that is absolutely free when you refer three to the WOW cellular service. And right now, there's a massive shift in the wealth taking place right now in mobile wireless. The question I have for you out there is, and will be, are you ready? And a big thanks goes Dave Olson, one of the best in the business. Thank you, David, for all you do behind the glass. Keeps the lights flashing and the phone calls moving. But let's get our first guest right here on the line right now. We got Mr. Tom Dore. And Mr. Dore, how you been, man? I've talked to you for a while.
I'm doing great. How are you? Two of my favorite guys. How the heck are you guys doing?
Sounds good, Tom. We're doing better than the Bulls are doing.
Yeah, they're, although I got to say, for who they are, I thought in game two especially that they played a lot better than I thought they might. I'll be honest. I was impressed with what I saw, that they did. Hey, with a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go, they were right there in the game.
Yeah, you know, that was pretty close all the way. In fact, it was kind of a seesaw battle there between the second and third quarter. And then, of course, it seemed like halfway through that fourth quarter, the LeBron James factor took over, kind of like the old days with Michael Jordan.
That's what a superstar does.
Right.
You know? And he is, you know, he and Kobe are the two dominant players in the NBA right now, the best players in the league. And they are guys that when the game's on the line, are going to, for their teams, either win it or lose it. He was terrific. I thought the Bulls' plan to try to make him do everything and get everybody to kind of stand around and watch was great. I thought it was a really good plan. I thought they did a super job at trying to implement it. Unfortunately for them, the Moon guy hits three, fourth quarter threes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and yeah. Otherwise, I mean, it's, you know, it's hard to say what happens, but the guy made the shots, and that's where it is right now. It's 2-0.
Do you think if the Bulls had one superstar like a Chris Bosh or a Stoudemire that they would be one of the top teams in the East right now?
I think they'd be close to it. You know, everybody's talking about for Bosh that it's going to have to be a sign and trade, and that it's going to be a really difficult thing to just get him as a straight free agent. Depending on what you have to give up, I think if it can be draft choices, that's one thing. If it's guys that are on the roster that make a difference right now, that's another. But I think either one of those guys, now you have a much different inside game. You're a much better rebounding team, although they rebounded exceptionally well in game two. And I think that maybe puts you over the edge. Let's face it, if they're healthy all year, they're probably the 5, maybe 6 seed in the East, not the 8th seed. So this is a better than 8th seed normally is, and a lot of times that happens in the playoffs. But with a superstar, yeah, they're a lot better.
No question. Hey, Tom, what are you up to these days besides 7'2"?
Well, I recently, and you guys will appreciate this, I recently finished doing play-by-play for a league called the Lingerie Football League. Did you guys hear about this thing?
Absolutely.
We did.
Yeah.
It was out there at the Sears Center, I believe.
It sure
was.
Yeah,
they had a couple games at the Sears Center. They all around the country. And it seems like this thing is catching on. And it was a really fun first season. And I've gotten a chance to be involved with them a little bit. And so that's where a lot of my focus has been. And I got a couple other things that I'm doing. But that's...
Sure.
Those, you know, I stay busy. There's no two ways about that.
You did the play-by-play for the our team here in Chicago. What was
the Rush?
Actually, it was a national. I was the national guy.
Oh, the national guy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So I traveled to all the teams, all the players, all the coaches. The finals were down in Miami, it was a great show. It was Super Bowl weekend, and they're building. They're doing things the right way.
Hey, that's great. We're talking with Tom Dore, legendary sports broadcaster here in Chicago. And David, every time we get out there and play golf, so I think his driver is about as tall as I am. You know, when he pulls it out of the bag there.
They had the biggest broadcast team in history when he was working with Johnny Red Kerr and Stacey King. You had 3 7-footers.
Well, there was a lot of talk about 2 of the 7-footers and talent-wise and that kind of thing. One of the guys obviously ought to be in the Hall of Fame.
Not you.
Well, that seems that no, you're right, exactly, not me. But no, it was a great time. I love being a part of the Bulls and being with the organization. They're great people, and now I think for them, the future looks really good. This is a very good young team. You know, there's not much that you would think is not going to be back, and if they can add 1 or 2 really good players, and you just hope that they don't have to overpay for one of the guys that they, you know, that they're able to pull in. You know, if they could get a Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, let's face it, this is a team that could contend fairly quickly in the East. But it's going to be very difficult to get 2 guys like that. You know, maybe it's Joe Johnson and Chris Bosh.
What about Rudy Gay they're talking about?
What's that?
Rudy Gay they're mentioning.
Really, Rudy Gay? Well, there are a lot of guys that come up this year, and again, it just depends on how Gar Forman and Pax and the staff there kind of decides, okay, this is what we need to do. These are the guys we need to target. You know, it just kind of depends on how they decide to attack it, but I think they'll be significantly better next year. I guess that's the bottom line. And let's face it, taking Cleveland like they have right down to the wire in the second game, this is a team that's going to be fun to watch.
Your thoughts on the head coach?
My guess is that Vinny won't be back. You know, when you read about the you know, the things that have happened, and that's the only insight that I've got is to read what, you know, what's been said in the papers and mm-hmm. on radio and TV, that kind of thing. I've got to think that there's some tension there. If he did play Joakim Noah, pardon me, over what the doctors told him to do, you can't do that. As a coach, you cannot go against what the team doctors and trainers say. And you guys know that. Doctor says this is all the guy can play. If you're going to make a mistake, the mistake is to play him less than that time. You don't go over that time. The first time he did it, Noah missed, 10 games, I think it was. And that's just not acceptable. You just, as a coach, you can't do that. So my guess is they'll be looking for somebody else. You know, Avery Johnson is still out there. And I think a guy like Avery Johnson with a Derrick Rose would be a great fit. Here's a guy that was a terrific point guard in the NBA, understands what it takes, a very similar player. And I think that might be a good fit.
What about Byron Scott?
Maybe. I mean, you know, it kind of depends on what Pax and Gar think is the best fit for the team. But I think there are people out there that would be very, very good.
Well, if we bring in Avery Johnson, we'd have the highest voice in the league.
Isn't that something? You know, anything you do, and you guys know this from football as well, you go around and you talk to people, and all of a sudden, you know, you hear a voice, and you think, and it ends up to be one of the stars or something like that, and you think, how did you get a voice like that? What the heck happened here? I think there are a lot of options, and I think the future looks really good for the franchise. They're going the right way.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tommy, we've got a new look in the studio here. Obviously, we got these webcams. Anybody who is actually obviously listening to this live, they can see both David and I in studio. And of course,
why would they want to?
I don't know.
Yeah,
no,
I tell you what. But you know what? We not only got the voice, but we got the looks for that.
Now wait a second. I auditioned over the weekend for a TV show with Chet Kopic, and Chet said I have a face for TV. So I beg to differ.
Oh, good old Chet.
Yeah, he might beg to differ, but I don't, you know, I don't buy it.
But I got my new WOW mobile hat on for people that want to go online and talk. That's TalkZone.com and click on Listen Live to the Barely Legal Show here. If you want to call in, it's 888-463-6748. Tommy, do you play the horses at all?
The horses are one thing I've never gotten into. I've been to a couple times. I went with Ron Shuler, and I went one time, the ex-GM of the White Sox. Love Shu. Just love Shu. And he said, all right, we're going to box this and do this and do that. And I said, what? Yeah. What? We're going to box horses?
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, the horses are bigger. They'll win. You know. And so Shu says, just shut up and give me your money. So I gave Shu my money, and we won. And he said, I have a suggestion for you. Don't ever do this again.
Don't do this again.
Yeah. You walk away now, and you're a winner. And he said, although some may, you know, kind of talk to me about that. But he said, that's the option. You're a winner right now. Just walk away. So yeah. I've made the vow.
Yeah. The reason I ask you that is because we've got a real big fan of ours, Marianne. She's one of the general managers over there at Lucky McGee's in Nile, right off of Greenwood Avenue. Marianne, David and I are just giving you out a shout, a big hi. We saw your instant message there on Facebook. But, the Kentucky Derby.
May 1st.
Coming up May 1st.
And you know we'll be there. Tom Dorzel, broadcast partner, Mike North.
Oh, well, Mike never misses any time. He's got a little action going on with the ponies, you know. Should be a big day out there. And if Marianne, if you're listening, do call in, man. I'd like to chat with you. Give us a little more of a rundown on that big event coming up for the Kentucky Derby on May 1st. But, Tommy, how's the swing, man? You getting in gear? I know we've got probably Bobby Miller's Red Ass Scramble coming up soon.
Yeah, that won't be too far away. We've got, you know, the season is upon us basically for going out with all the charities that we go out to. And I think that's one thing that's important for anybody is to be able to give back, to do, you know, all these people have supported us all these years and to be able to say thank you and meet these people, shake hands. That's just as good as it can get. I know you appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to meet these people and smile and have a go out and have a good time with them.
No question about it. My wife always asks me, she says, Robin, what's so special about going out playing these golf outings? Well, I tell her, I says, first of all, we get to play in the most poshest country clubs in the state, right, in the whole Chicago area. They treat us like a king. We get to play golf. We get to eat food. We get to have a few cocktails. Man, what's better than that?
And laugh a little bit.
And laugh and have some fun. Absolutely. Damn right.
But it's hard to get these athletes out here nowadays. These younger athletes, they don't want to do it.
Yeah, but us old broken down guys, it's real easy.
Yeah, we're the dying breed, Tom. Yeah. There's no question. Yeah.
Tom, who's your favorite player of all time to cover?
Well, I love Michael, you know, because he did the things that so many people don't see. Yeah, he scored a lot of points, but his defense was just, to me, you know, people talk about LeBron being in the same class with Michael. What MJ could do defensively and his ability to see the floor defensively, his ability to help everybody out was just unbelievable. He could be guarding the best player for the other team, and yet he could help you and one other guy every time somebody drove. That I really liked that. I appreciated that. But a guy that's playing now that I really like that has never gotten a lot of publicity but just puts in the same thing every night is Tim Duncan. I'm a big fan of guys using the backboard when they shoot. In fact, when I coach my junior teams, that's one of the first things I teach is that every shot you can goes off the backboard. But I like Tim because every single night he gives you the exact same thing. He gives you his best. It's 20 and 10. You just know this guy's going to basically be a terrific player every night for you.
Without Michael Jordan, would Scottie Pippen have been a Hall of Fame player?
Yeah, I think so. You think back to the year and a half that Michael was gone, the Bulls were a terrible call from Hugh Hollins away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals with a team that a lot of people didn't think would finish 500. That may have been Scottie's best year. The next year, before Michael came back, they were struggling a little bit, but I think Scottie really showed during that year and year and a half, year and three quarters, whatever it was, what a great player he is and what a leader he was. And I definitely think so. He's a guy that that did a lot and understood the game, and probably because of Michael to some extent, was a much better player and more ready for the role that he had to take once Michael came back. But he was. He was a heck of a player during that time.
Well, you know, you hit the big time when you're on Donald Trump's, Celebrity Apprentice show. Did you see him on there a couple weeks ago?
Huh? I missed that. How did that go for him?
Well, pretty well. They were advertising, or they were doing some right guard. Yeah, and he was with the ladies' crew, and they won the task. that week, and someone got fired. But you know what? Donald Trump, even though he's a pompous ass sometimes, but I like that show. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I've heard about it. I've never seen it, but I you know, back to Pip for just a second. He's a guy that just did so many things for the team, and you know, Pip, I think, was created some problems for himself, especially later in his career. But I really like the effort that he put in. You know, that early morning weightlifting crew, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Ronnie Harper, really showed the dedication that those guys have. Big difference in your body when you're able to do something like that. And Robin, you and I know what an effort it is to do extra work during the season when you've already got to go to practice. You got to do the running. You got to do everything else. Now you're adding something before anything else happens. That's a big-time commitment.
Yeah, that's right, man. And a lot of people maybe don't really, really understand. You know, it's not like, we show up on Sunday at Soldier Field and voila, production, lights, camera, action, 60,000 fans show up. You don't understand. You start in junior high, you go for grade school, you go to high school, you go into college. I mean, it's just a process year after year after year. And people forget about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's a lot of work that goes into this, you know. But, of course, the players today are making so much money, it's unbelievable. But, just getting a heads up here from our producer, Dave Olson here. But, you know, it's, Tom, you know, it's people... You know, they bitch and complain about the big money, the millions of dollars that these athletes are being paid. And some of them are not, you know, some of them take advantage of it. Some of them are just spoiled little brats. You know, this Roethlisberger, if he doesn't straighten up his act, I mean, he's got a gift that the good Lord gave him that one out of millions of guys can able to do. And I just hope he doesn't piss it all away because of his attitude and what he does. I mean, everyone's accountable for their actions. Damn it, just be a good guy.
He could have been a Hall of Famer if he would have kept his act together,
you know?
Well, and he still might be. You know, it might be one of those things where you look back and say, hey, do you remember when he did that? Yeah, I kind of remember. You know, if this all goes away and you never hear anything about it again, he turns around, straightens everything out. But it's been a couple times you've heard things like this with him now. So now you start to kind of, you know, roll your eyes a little bit and think, yeah, there's something here, something that's not right. And that's where, as great as he can be, he needs to hire, like Michael Jordan did.
Yeah.
Bring a security guy with you everywhere you go. Pay him whatever it takes. And when you get in a situation like that, if he's got to bust you on the nose and say, get out of here, you do what he tells you to do. And that's where I think, you know, Michael didn't do it for that reason. He did it so, you know, other things weren't problems. You know, the people that come up and drive him crazy so he could live his life. But that's where I think a guy like him, like Roethlisberger, can really learn from what a Michael Jordan did. Just hire your own security guy. Go everywhere you go. Make it somebody you like, a cop off, you know, retired, whatever, and quit.
Tom, we got a guy who you probably remember playing football, Hall of Famer, on hold right now. Larry Little, former Miami Dolphin.
Oh, my goodness. What a terrific player. Holy cow.
Larry, how you doing out there?
I'm doing just fine, Robin. What about you?
Oh, doing terrific, Larry. We're so happy to have you on. We got your contact there, Rick, in Albany, New York, and he was excited to say that you're willing to join us. And, hey, say hi to my co-host, David Spada. And, of course, we've got one of the legendary sports broadcasters here in Chicago, Tom Doerr, on with us.
And David and Tom.
All right. Let's just hey, Tom, you don't mind staying on for a little bit?
I got a couple more minutes.
Okay, super duper. But Larry Little, man, five-time All-Pro, part of that 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins. I watched you play, when I was growing up in a junior high and high school area. And I tell you what a great...
Wow, you make me feel old.
Well, you know, you've got about 10 years on me there, about 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah. But, Larry, what have you been up to these days? I know you're going to be helping out with a foundation there up in Albany, New York. You've got, I believe, 7 or 8 Hall of Famers.
Yes.
Going up to the going up in that area and raising a little money for a charity up there. I think is it your foundation?
No, it's not my foundation. This is Rick, the guy that had you to contact me. He's raising money for his daughter's parochial school.
Oh, that's right.
And I thought I would just get some of my guys, because we all look out for each other. You know, we're like a fraternity. When one acts willing to do something, you know, we always try to help them out. Because I give my time to a lot of them, and they give their time to me, because I have a golf tournament down here in Miami, too, in December.
Uh-huh.
And I get a lot of guys to come down.
You know, Tom Doerr and I were just talking about, we're a dying breed, Larry, because, you know, us guys, you know, I'm 55, I see you're 64. You know, I don't know what it is. We just, hey, if someone's got a golf outing and we need help, man, we go. We don't expect any money to get paid, or we just show up and have fun and talk to the people and so forth. But today's players, wow, trying to get them out is like pulling teeth.
It's a new breed, no doubt about it. You know, I'm not around the young guys that much, but I know their persona and their attitudes, and my thing is, pardon the expression, but who the hell are you? I'm who I am. You know?
That's good, yeah. Yeah.
And you get where I've been, then you can maybe act snobbish toward me.
Well, Larry, I'm looking at your bio, man. You came out of a small school, Cookman,
Bethune-Cookman.
Bethune-Cookman, yes.
Undrafted, just probably had to work your behind off to get where you're at, and then years later, here you are, one of the greatest offensive linemen to play the game, Hall of Famer. My hat's off to you, my friend. What a great accomplishment.
Yeah, it wasn't easy for me. San Diego signed me as a free agent for $750 bonus.
Oh, my God.
And my first contract was $12,000, so... You know, I came a long way from where I began, because Bethune-Cookman, we were a small school, and still is a small school. Really, when I graduated, it was 750 students. But now they have over 3,000. Four guys have stayed in the NFL.
Ignore my ignorance, but where the hell is Bethune-Cookman College?
Tommy probably knows.
Tommy, do you know?
Tommy has no idea.
Cookman, you guys wasn't out of going on spring break when you were in college. It's in Daytona Beach.
Oh, Florida. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Florida, Daytona Beach, Florida, yeah.
So you made $12,000 your first year with the Dolphins?
No, with the Chargers.
With the Chargers? That's more than, or that's less than Jordan used to gamble on the tables in Vegas.
No.
Hey, guys, if I could jump in for a second.
Sure.
Larry, first of all, it's always great to talk to a Hall of Famer. It's what a terrific accomplishment, especially to start out as an undrafted guy. And you went to the AFL. Tell us a little bit, if you don't mind, about starting with the AFL back when, you know, there were still some questions about the AFL, and then moving over to the NFL.
Okay. When you look back at most of the Hall of Famers, that the African-American Hall of Famers that are in the Hall of Fame now, most of those guys started off in the AFL. Like the Willie Browns, Leroy Kellys, Lim Bonnie started off in the NFL. But most of what happened, the AFL started going into black colleges back then to get players to play. Because the NFL was getting the prime players out of the major colleges, but they weren't going that much to the smaller colleges. Mm-hmm. And that's why I went to San Diego, although the coach offered me a contract, but their bonus was going to be $500. So I took the bigger bonus and went to San Diego.
Hey, that $250, baby. That was a lot of money back then.
It was gone in 2 weeks, too.
That's just gas money to drive all the way out to San Diego.
Yeah, but it was different. And when the leagues merged in 1970, and that was the same year Shula came to Miami, and everything turned around, because I was here a year before Shula was. Shula came, I came in 69, mm-hmm. and Shula came in 1970.
Wow.
What made that Dolphins team so great that went undefeated?
Well, there was no selfishness on the team. We all believed in each other. We liked each other, and we got along, you know. We had a great quarterback in Bob Greasy and Earl Moore, because Earl won most of the game, but They didn't care about throwing for over 200 or 300 yards during the game. All they wanted to do was win. And we had a great running back with Zarkin Kick and Mercury. And we had a real good offensive line. These two of us are in the Hall of Fame, Jim Lange and myself, and Jim was a free agent also.
Mm-hmm.
Our offensive line was really, none of us were high draft picks. I was traded to Miami. Jim Langer came as a free agent. Bob Kuchenberg was picked up on waivers. Wayne Moore was picked up on waivers. And Norm Evans came in the expansion draft. So that's what made that team special. But we had some great players on defense and a great coaching staff. That's why they were called a no-name defense, because Tom Landry said when we played in 1971 that he didn't know none of the guys' names on our defense.
Yeah, right. Well, that's why they called you the no-name defense, basically.
Those some great players.
Right. Yeah, you know, you all came in as no-names, and then you blossom into, you know, national recognition. Everybody knows who you guys are now.
What do you think of this Ben Roethlisberger situation?
Well, it's weird. I think the guy needs some counseling. I think rightfully so, he should be suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, just don't take advantage of young ladies like that, especially, too, even if he didn't do it, and drink for 20-year-old underage drinking.
That's right.
So, you know, I don't have any sympathy for him, whatever the league does to him.
Well, they always say you got choices in life. You just got to make the right ones. But let me tell you something. If you just take the alcohol out of the equation, none of this happens.
That's true.
None of this
That's
happens.
True. I heard you guys talking earlier about guys getting bodyguards to be with them when they're out. I mean, you guys need to hire limousines down here in Miami going to South Beach.
Yeah.
Because every week you can absolutely get pulled off for a DUI down here on South Beach.
Look, Dan Marino was down there for 15 years. You never heard him get in trouble, and he must have had more women than Roethlisberger throwing himself at him.
Yeah, because he's much better looking than Roethlisberger.
Hey, I got one. I got a really important question to ask you, Larry. Does Mercury Morris's lips really flap that fast when he talks?
Yes, it does. When he called me, only thing I had to do was put the phone in my ear and listen. But I know he had one or two words in anyway. He's a different character. Like, he can talk, he will talk you to death. He does two things better than anybody else. Talk and go to the bathroom.
That's Mercury, man. We had him on our show about a month ago, man. We had a hoot with Mercury on the
and
show.
And Bobby Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Mercury's one of my best friends, and I'm one of the ones that really can get to shut up sometimes.
Anyway, I want to get the listeners on that website that Rick gave me last night. And I had it written down on my notepad that I left at the house, because my son decided that when he pulled one of the cars out of the garage today, he ripped off the mirror and scratched the whole side of the car, because he was in a hurry to get his brother to high school. Oh my God! You should have seen his look in his face, Larry, when he walked into the house. He says, "Dad, I did a boo boo." The whole side,
sounds like Mercury.
Yeah, the whole side of the car was scraped, and the left rear view, or the left mirror, was torn off, just dangling on the side of the car. I said, "You just pulled it out of the driveway, son. How the hell did you do that?" Oh, Dad, I screwed up.
It's easy today, I tell you. I just had to wire my 28-year-old some money, so don't feel bad.
Yeah. I want to get that website out to the listening.
It's
Pro Players. Doggone it.
It's on the back of your page. I wrote it before.
Let's see here. Yeah, Pro Player Promotions. That's it. ProPlayerPromotions.com. I was on it last night and got a picture of course, all the Hall of Famers. I think there's going to be 7 or 8 there. I was telling the story to Rick yesterday. We've got, I'll have to pull up the site here real quick, but the cornerback Hall of Famer from the Vikings.
Paul Krause.
Paul Krause. You know, here I am, a talk show host. I can't remember names very well.
So you're going to New York, Robin, to play in this golf outing?
You know what? I don't know. I'd love to. It'd be fun.
It's going to be a great time. They have a 3 days of a lot of fun.
But I was telling the story to Rick about Paul Krause. when the Vikings in 1977, that was my rookie year, Larry, and they kicked off. We had the ball first play of the game. We called it the Ride 38 odd bottle, where both my pulling guards, you'd know that, pulling around the corner.
We ran the same play in Miami.
Exactly. And you know, and then I'm right behind my two guards, Noah Jackson and Reavie Soy. You know, they're, you know, close to 300 pounders. And I played at 255 in the backfield, which back then was a big fullback.
Yes.
So here we coming around that corner. And all I saw was Paul Krause's eyes light up like saucers, like, oh my God, I'm supposed to get in the way here, make a tackle, right? Well, I got up underneath Paul's pads and hooked him pretty good and slid him right into our moat. You remember the moat there at Soldier Field?
Yeah.
Where we used to sit, and I looked at Paul. I was laying on top of Paul in the moat, and I says, Paul's gonna be like this all day, partner, get ready. You know?
Oh, you did a little trash talking back in the day, huh?
A little bit, but then of course Walter, you know, ran for 275 yards at that day, and of course we broke the broke OJ's 273 yards.
Tommy, do you remember that?
Walter and I went in the Hall of Fame together.
Walter and you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, that was probably
91.
What year did you go in?
93.
Gotcha.
One of the best classes.
Who else was in that class?
Bill Walsh, Chuck Noll, Dan Fouts, Walter, and myself.
Wow. What a class.
They're all class guys, too.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, what an honor. You know, what a fraternity. What do you guys, you know, when you go back for the Hall of Fame and you know, the inductions in August and so forth, I mean, it's got to be, man, I would give anything to be a part of that.
You got to be a good player to be part of it, Robin.
Well, I know. You know, I was very fortunate to play 9 years, but you know what? I mean, I was just a blue collar, grab my lunch pail and go to work, man. But you know what? You got to have those role players on the team, right?
You do.
Right, Larry?
You do. You definitely have to, yes. Just like Jim Keek was with us.
Yeah.
Although Mercury and Zonka gained all the yards, Jim was that great role player, third down guy for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think of people who say that Greasy should not be in the Hall of Fame?
You know, I hear that all the time. I hear that even from the radio hosts, some radio hosts down here. Bob, probably one of the smartest quarterbacks that ever played the game. Bob could have thrown for more yardage, but he wasn't selfish. You know, he called back then, he called his own plays, too. But he could have thrown the ball more, but I think Bob deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. He was a great quarterback. If Lynn Dawson's in the Hall of Fame, why not Bob? They're both Purdue guys.
Yeah. We're talking about Bob Greasy, correct? Yeah. Yeah. I thought he was in the Hall of Fame.
He is in the Hall of Fame.
Bob Greasy is. Yeah.
A lot of people say he shouldn't be.
Oh, okay.
His stats
okay.
aren't there, that people say, but it's not just stats. I mean, look at some of the greatest quarterbacks who didn't put up huge stats, but they led their team to victory. Bart Starr, another example.
Exactly. See, the game was so much different back then than it is now. Too, because they throw the ball a whole heck of a lot more now than we did back from the all quarterback there. Maybe what Dan Fouts came later on. But before then, look at all the great quarterbacks. You didn't throw the ball that much.
Tom, who was your favorite football player growing up?
Jim Parker.
Tom Dorey, you still with us?
Yes, sir. I'm
hey.
Still here, boy. Favorite player growing up. Probably Robin Earl.
Oh, sure. You know, just in Larry Little's laugh, I gotta go to that golf outing. You know, I think it's scheduled for. Let me pull up this site here. Pro player. Here, I got it right here. Let's get it online here.
Tommy, we just saw a breaking news story here that Mike McCaskey's retiring as the Bears chairman. Did you see that?
How about that? No, I haven't seen that. No.
It's kind of like when Wirtz died. Maybe they'll be playing Ding Dong. The witch is gone.
Yeah, things could change dramatically.
Yeah, they, actually, you know who's taking over, though? George McCaskey. So I don't think it's going to change much. George isn't much different than Mike McCaskey.
No, wait. There is no George.
It says right here, George McCaskey, the younger brother.
Oh.
He's the ticket guy.
Oh, my. No, wait. Hold time out here. Time out. Are you okay? Michael McCaskey has been in the background for years. He, you know, he was just lucky to be in the right sperm bank. Is all he was. Okay, now you're talking. George is going to take Michael McCaskey's as what?
The spot chair? Is
the chairman.
Chair?
Oh. Oh. I was listening to some comments driving in this morning about you know, people were texting into the Score Radio about George, old George. Have you ever dealt with this gentleman, Tom Doerr?
No, never. I don't even think I met.
Yeah, but he's been handling the tickets for a long, long, long time. He's got a personality. You know, I'm not gonna say I'm part of the Bear family and all this good stuff. I want to watch my tongue. But he is probably the most unpersonable, sarcastic SOB you'll ever want to meet.
He'll fit right in with this Bears tradition.
There you go. Absolutely.
Larry, what do you think about the Bears?
I don't know that much about the Bears.
They're not run like the Dolphins, I'll tell you that.
Well, I tell you what, nobody knows what's going on down here with the Dolphins because these people here don't talk.
What do you mean they don't talk?
Parcells doesn't talk to the media and anything. Jeff Island very seldom talk. And they're very hush mouth down here. Nobody knows that much about them.
Do they welcome the former players or they don't want no part of you guys?
I've never seen Parcells yet.
Really?
I've seen Jeff Ireland, he had different affairs, and Tony Sperano, the coach,
mm-hmm.
and he welcomed up with open arms. I met Jeff Ireland at Don Shula's roast, and we roasted Shula on the lady's birthday.
Wow.
And But they don't talk to the media. You don't know what's going on. They're very closed-mouthed, very secretive. Right now they're going through a little controversy because they let Jason Taylor get away without offering him a new contract, and he signed with our biggest rival, the New York Jets.
New York Jets, that's right.
So Parcells did not show up at Shula's roast?
No. He didn't show up for anything.
Why is that?
Not enough food there, I guess. He's at the buffet.
He had his own booth at the stadium. Nobody's in there with him.
Okay.
And he's just a hush-mouth guy.
Wow. Okay, let's... getting a little extra background noise there. Hey, anyway, let's talk briefly here. On that June 3rd, 4th, and 5th, that's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the Hall of Fame weekend hosted by, of course, the guy we got on the phone right now, Hall of Famer guard Larry Little. And they're going to have a reception on Thursday. It looks like fun. Meet and greet the players, silent auction, all that good stuff. And then on Friday, they got the Golf Classic. At Turnpike Golf Club, golf course. And, entry fee for that is $250 per person. Very reasonable. Wouldn't you say, Tom? I mean, we've played in events where it's about $1,000 a man. Oh, we lost Tom. Okay.
No problem. No. Tom's a great guy.
Yeah. Anyway, Tom, love you, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Okay. But we still got Larry on the phone here, though. And let's talk about, listen, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Hall of Famers. Of course, you, Larry. We'll have Joe DeLalemaire that's got probably the biggest helmet of any ball player. You could fit a whirlpool in it. you know what I mean?
Joe's big in that area. You know, we were playing with Buffalo. And,
Darn right.
Leroy Kelly will be there, Charlie Taylor.
I got Lim Barney. Lim Barney. Paul Krause. Rayfield Wright is scheduled with the Cowboys.
Yes.
Beautiful. And, of course, Leroy Kelly and, of course, Bobby Mitchell, one of the greats for the Redskins, man. And that'll be up there at the – that's in Albany, right? I'm looking for an actual address.
How many of the Dolphins undefeated team are going to be there? Do you know?
No, it's just going to be a Hall of Fame.
Just Hall of Fame guys?
Yeah. Oh, now all the Dolphins be at my golf tournament in December. A lot of them come play in my golf tournament.
Gotcha. The Italian American Club on Washington Avenue will be the Saturday event. Admission's $3. I'm sure people come in and get autographs and so forth and so on. So, wow, that sounds like a really...
The auction will be that night.
Okay.
Saturday we have an autograph signing.
Got an autograph signing. Terrific.
Are you charging for the autograph signing?
I don't know what they're doing up there. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Okay.
But I do know that all the proceeds will go to the Hall of Famers.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you know what? I think that's terrific. And, of course, you mentioned the school, that the golf outing, that's the funds raised. I don't have the exact name of the school. Do you know the name of the school, Larry?
No, I don't. Let me tell you. See, Rick Boris lives in Albany, and he's
right.
A big Dolphin fan.
Yeah, we talked last night for quite some length. That's right.
Yeah, and I've been to Albany once in my life. So
well, it's the capital of New York, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
you got to get
I
your butt up
is.
There.
I know it is.
You're having a cigar night hosted by the Brown Derby Restaurant. I remember watching an old I Love Lucy when she was in Hollywood, and she went to the Brown Derby because that's where all the stars used to hang out. Larry, did you ever go to the old Brown Derby there in Hollywood?
No, I haven't. I heard about it. I heard of it, but I've never been there.
Everyone who's who of Hollywood used to go to that restaurant just to be seen.
Wow.
And I guess they're still around here.
Hey, Larry, what are you doing today?
Well, I work at the Miami-Dade County Public School System.
Oh, good for you.
I'm a community liaison specialist with adult students. Something that I need, something very easy.
That sounds
good. You know, I coached for 17, 16 years, too.
Who did you coach with?
I coached at my alma mater, Bethune-Cookman, for 9 years.
Okay.
I coached there for 9 years.
Okay.
Then I coached in the World League. In Columbus, Ohio, I was the art shell of the World League that went to Europe.
Okay.
And the league shut down for 2 years, and I went back to the college ranks at North Carolina Central University.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, and then I got tired of coaching, left North Carolina, and I moved back home. Because I'm from Miami. Miami's my home.
Gotcha.
And I was the only guy from Miami on the undefeated team.
Great. You know, it's always great to give back, and I know you love working with kids, and they look up to you, and you know, I get an opportunity to coach 3 or 4 weeks of the Chicago Bear youth camps, and I got 125 kids at each week, and you got them crawling on your ankles, Coach Earl. But you know what? to see the smile on their faces, boy, when they do something really good, and you really pat them on the back, and just keep coaching and get them better, and it can really change a young man's life. And of course, that's what we're all with the future of America, of course.
I had a boys camp here in Miami for 15 years when I was playing. I had it for underprivileged kids. It was the only one like this in the country where the kids didn't have to pay to come to our boys camp. We kept them for a week at a college dormitory where we practiced at Biscayne College. And the Dolphins are one of my supporters. And, right now I have grown men, looks as old as I do, come up to me, hey, Larry, I was in your boys' camp as a kid. I mean, yeah, man, I have a grandson, not 3 years old. Oh, my God, I'm old.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I always tell a quick story here. My wife and I are at the airport a couple years ago, and some gentleman, hell, he's a full-grown man. He's in his late 30s, comes running up to me, goes, Coach Earl. He goes, I went to your football camp back in 1981. It was the greatest week of my life. And I'm saying, my wife looks at me and go, yeah, right.
Well, I started mine in 1969. The kid's 13 years old. You can imagine how old they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you again, Larry. You're a class act here. Good luck with your golf outing this June.
Yeah,
thank
man.
Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you, and keep up the good work.
God bless,
right,
Larry, and we'll talk soon.
Take care.
All right.
We're going to go right back to Tom Dorey. He's back on the line.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, guys. I don't know what happened there.
Oh, wow. I got to do we want to know?
Let's keep going. Forget the commercials.
Yeah. Yeah, screw Wild Mobile.
Forget my law offices.
What
forget Wild Mobile. Forget Bolingbrook Golf Club.
Yeah, what the hell.
Tommy, so let's get...
Yeah,
Tommy, let's get back to this Bears thing. What do you think of this McCaskey stepping down?
I mean, you got me, guys. We can talk Bulls all day long, but with the Bears, I did a couple preseason games, but those scrimmages that they have, I did a couple of those, went up and met a lot of the guys, but that's really about all I know.
But this,
and one of my great friends of all time, Big Cat Williams, one of the great teddy bear people. But just a super guy. But as far as other than that, I defer to Robin because he knows a lot more about these guys than I do.
This is the Blackhawks all over again when Bill Wirtz died, but the Hawks did it right. They brought Rocky in, who turned around the organization. He put the games on TV, got John McDonough as president, and he turned that team around, welcomed the people back. The Bears just hired another Mike McCaskey clone in George.
Worse.
And the best McCaskey they have is Brian McCaskey, and he should have got the job here because he's got more people skills. I mean, this organization's in trouble.
Strictly by age. This is strictly a seniority proposition. You know, don't you think, Tom? They go, well, okay, George is next brother in line here. He's older than Brian. Brian runs that organization. Okay, he runs it. And Brian deserves to have that title and run this damn team. That's just my opinion.
Oh, I know exactly. So
again, you got me, guys. I'm this is not something I know a whole lot about. Is it theirs?
Well, Tom, what happened with you and the Bulls? Why are you not broadcasting with them anymore?
Well, I think it was a matter where they wanted to go to one announced team, and WGN couldn't agree to bring me on, and Comcast Sportsnet couldn't agree or wouldn't agree to bring on Wayne, and so they just decided to make a wholesale change.
Jeez.
I mean, you did a great job. You had, got 2-3 championship rings in those years, or even more, maybe?
Yeah, I had five.
I've
got five. And they have no complaints. They're a terrific organization and did great by my family, by me, and again, no complaints whatsoever. We walked away and shook hands and are still friends to this day.
What was it like working with Mike North doing the Rush back in the day?
Well, I never knew what was next that he was going to say. You know, it wasn't your normal play-by-play analyst role.
Right.
We had a great time, an absolute great time.
Was he play by play or were you play by play?
Come on, Robin.
I did the play by play.
You did play by play. North was just doing the color.
Could you imagine North doing play by play?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Well, I mean, play by play is a different job.
It is.
You know, you really have to know where everybody's from, what number they're wearing, you know, who their high school coach was. You got to know all that stuff. And as well prepared as you are, things happen during the game that you think, boy, I how did I miss that one? But it was working with Mike was great, and I still see him now. I've been on. I want to say it's 3 or 4 times on his Monsters and Money show with.
Well, at least you get on. He calls me up and he goes, oh yeah, we're gonna get you on. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
I thought you were on tomorrow morning.
Yes, right. Yeah, we got the NFL draft coming up. You know, we're trying to, talk a little bit about that. And of course, I'll have my Wild Mobile shirt on, of course. But he won't let me on.
Well, but hey, let's talk draft just real quick.
Yeah.
Bears with nothing in the first 2 rounds. Any chance they move up, or is it just not worth it anymore?
Tom, to be honest, the Bears are just too cheap. Unless someone offers a second-round draft choice for Greg Olsen, that'd be about the only thing I would see, but I doubt it. You know, they're going to have to – you know, there's a couple pros and cons about they got that third pick. Okay, do they draft for need and get themselves a safety, or do they take the best athlete on the board? Every time the Bears draft for need, they end up picking up some kid that shouldn't be – picked until about the 5th, 6th round.
Oakwell, a couple years ago, Dan Bazine, 2 guys they drafted just based upon projected talent and both were busts.
And need. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's why they, you know, Jim Finks, he always went to the theory of just take the best athlete on the board, regardless of position.
I mean, Tom, you know why they traded for Jay Cutler last year? Because the season ticket money was due back in end of March, beginning of April. The season ticket sales were lax. And they traded 2 first-round picks. By trading those 2 first-round picks, they avoided those huge signing bonuses. And Cutler was under contract for another 3-4 years, so they saved money there. It was strictly a financial move getting Cutler.
Well, and I know people do that in a lot of sports. They'll say, hey, this guy is under contract. I could draft a rookie. I don't know what that rookie is going to do, especially in the first 3 or 4 years. So I draft a guy that can come in and make a difference right now, and I avoid paying somebody a lot of money that's really not going to be that big a part of my team for 2 or 3 years. I mean, there is that mentality. Problem is that eventually you don't develop loyalty with guys, and it costs you money to be able to go out and get them as a free agent. And that, I think, is where that can kind of bite you. But, hey, let's face it. If you can get somebody that can come in right now and contribute as opposed to paying a rookie who's not going to contribute, I'm all for the guy that contribute. I can tell you that.
Yeah. You know, Tom, the way I look at it, too, the Bear organization really doesn't like drafting first and second rounds because that puts too much pressure on Jerry Angelo. It really does. You know, our first-round draft choices have not panned out all that hot in the last 10 years. Or what's Jerry, 7 years now? 7-8 years?
He took over in the early 2000s when Haley went up to Green Bay.
Yeah, right. And, you know, I mean, I like the fact that we bring in Julius Peppers. We got another great running back. I mean, you know, very good, very above average serviceable running back that's going to help out and complement Forte very well. And, of course, we pick up that the big tight end from St. Louis. So, in reality, that's our first and second pick. But Peppers, some people are bitching and moaning perhaps that we might have overpaid. But I just hope the guy's motor runs instead of, you know, half speed on 50% of the plays, you know.
Yeah, because if he comes in and is 100% from day one, that will make a big difference, not only on running plays, but on pressure on that quarterback. That's huge.
No question.
Michael Jordan's kind of hated that the Bears have Peppers here because, I mean, he's a North Carolina guy and played basketball, and I'm sure Jordan doesn't want to see anything good for Chicago.
No, I don't think that at all.
There's no hostility there?
What, say that again?
There's no hostility on Jordan's part towards the city?
No. Absolutely not. When I saw him the night of the Johnny Kerr tribute down at the United Center, he and I hugged and we talked for a few minutes. I don't think there's any hostility toward the city of Chicago. Let's face it, this city, you know, with good reason, but embraced him. And if he came in right now, he'd get a standing ovation any place he goes. He's beloved here. No, I don't think there's any hatred towards Chicago whatsoever on his behalf.
Well, Tommy, I'm getting the high sign. We got about 10 seconds to thank our guests. And, hey, thanks for staying on
Thank you, Tommy. You were great, my friend.
You're terrific. Helped us along here. And just want to thank our guest today, Larry Little, Miami Dolphins. Fantastic. This is the Barely Legal Show. Thanks, Tom Doerr. Thank you, Mr. David Spada, my co-host. I'm Robin Earl, and look forward to talking to you next week on the Barely Legal Show.